Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to be the stuff that Mike Bell was on at the golf tournament.
So messed up.
By the way, here's some clarification from the Associated Press. They think they want to ban smelling salts. There is a logic behind it.
Okay.
It took me a minute to find it.
Okay.
The idea is if you are concussed and you've got access to smelling salts, you might be able to respond and trip and not give an accurate baseline for the physician, or if it's not your
so
team trainer
them.
And the NFL uses the third-party guy, that you could basically be, no, I'm fine, because you smelling salts can make you snap out of it, seem like you're not concussed.
That makes sense.
That makes sense.
That does. Meanwhile, NFL suspends Vikings wide receiver Jordan Addison for the first three games, including our game, guys. They play at Chicago. They play against us, their home opener.
Sunday night football day.
Sunday night, and then they play the Bengals. The good news is, and look, Addison's got to get his stuff together. But
so this was – he had a DUI. It got adjudicated, and this is the punishment for it. Basically.
Well, he pleaded guilty to it.
Right.
But, yes, that's part of the punishment of the NFL.
Because when you see substance abuse, substance can still be alcohol.
Correct. So the thing about this, though, is, you know, and again, I don't wish any of this on anybody, but for the Falcons, defensively, we're not having to prepare as much as we did. Don't get me wrong. They're still a tough offensive team. We got to see what J.J. McCarthy's about. But Jordan Addison out there, Mike, with that wide receiving core, they're tight end. That's a tough group, man. We saw them last year.
Right, but think about it. And they made a mockery of our secondary. We had guys crawling around, like doing a crab walk. Justin Jefferson's like, me over here. And Addison's like, I'm over here too. So Addison now, that certainly means, look, yes, not to oversimplify it. You could perhaps bracket. But you can spend more attention on Justin Jefferson. And I don't know what the rest of their depth chart at wide receiver looks like, but that's a big hit for the second week of the season, potentially.
No doubt about it. Meanwhile, one other news note before we hear Ryan Neuzel, and that is Shedeur Sanders expected to start Cleveland's preseason opener against the Panthers. Mary Kay Cabot's reporting that. A couple of hamstring injuries to Kenny Pickett and apparently Dylan Gabriel. Either way, I said to one of our listeners, because Mark was like, it's way too early to draw any conclusions. Guys, you have to play to show that you can play. If Shedeur Sanders can play and is not given the ability to play, Mike, and shown that in these preseason games, we don't know. So I don't know how much this means to Kevin Stefanski and the coaching staff, but we're going to find out. And the bottom line is, it doesn't hurt. For him, on the depth chart, they list him, I think, as the fourth guy on the depth chart. If he plays well in his first preseason game, it'll be good for Shedeur. But this is one of those storylines we're watching because we don't know who's going to start when it's all said and done in Cleveland. All right, Mike and I sat down with Ryan Neuzel. I want you to hear this conversation. He is an interesting dude, our starting center. Dukes and Bell with Ryan Neuzel, our starting center for the Atlanta Falcons. We've not had a chance to really visit with you, man. I mean, we've been talking about you a lot. Right. You got a lot of playing time last year, and I think, you know, obviously that played a role in them seeing you as the guy. Talk about that experience, man, because we weren't talking about you, which meant there was no fall off when you were in there last season.
No, it was good. I mean, starting the year as a backup, obviously you have to be ready for any events that happen, anything that goes down. So I got called on, and I was – fortunate enough just to be able to fill the role for the time being, and I was very fortunate just to keep things rolling.
And congratulations on the contract, by the way, 2-year extension. What's been the hardest part, or when you jumped in last year, was it just finding chemistry with Bergeron and Lidstrom?
Yeah, the hardest thing is that first game. You kind of get thrown in the fire, like, was it 2-minute drill versus the Chiefs for me? So that's always the hardest part. But then you get down to like the week prep and you really hone in just on all the looks and just getting all the reps. And it definitely makes it a lot easier week by week.
Ryan, when you go in a situation like that, everybody got crazy eyes, right? They're looking around. You run in a huddle. Get your mind right, right? They're looking at you like you're crazy. Is that how it goes?
No, I probably had the crazy eyes. I mean, you just got to kind of flip the switch from just kind of keeping your head ready, like spectating the game and then just thrown in right away on like those situations. You just got to stay ready.
Fans don't pay enough attention to offensive line, but Jake Matthews was talking about it and saying, you know, Ryan Neuzel, you got to do all the – there's a lot of responsibility that comes to being the center.
Yeah, I mean, it starts with just like IDing the front and just getting everyone on the same page, kind of just reacting to what the defense gives us and presents and then just working on that.
Can you give us an example? You are walking up to the line and the first thing you see and you say is –
I mean, it changes every time, so there's no real thing. But it depends. Run, pass, like just calling out the mic really starts with the first like set point.
So you're calling his number out?
Yep, calling out his number.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, he's not giving us any secret sauce here.
So there's some big 350-pound nose tackle over you. I mean, and all this is going on in real time, right?
Yeah, it all goes in real time, especially when like when we're on the road and we have to go on the silent cadence. Like sometimes I have to make the call. Like then I just put my head between my legs and look for the look for the quarterback's foot to just snap the ball. Sometimes the picture changes when the head goes up.
Speaking of quarterbacks, we're talking with Ryan Neuzel, guys, starting center for Atlanta Falcons. It's Dukes and Bell. Tell us about Penix, man. That connection with you guys. Look, we can make fun of this because we went through a period here, 15, where our center was not getting the ball at the time, Matt Ryan. And we were like, we can't get the ball to the quarterback. So we don't take that lightly. What's that like, the connection with you guys?
No, it's good. Penix is very vocal and very on top of things. So it definitely helps. And then just being able to relay stuff, like if the snap's just a little bit off, just telling me to get it right and get it going.
Talking with Ryan Neuzel, guys, as we mentioned, he is our center. He's a Central Florida guy from Bradenton, from Braden River, so you got to be a good fisherman. Yeah, mangrove snapper? Bit.
No, not too much snapper. I mean, just grew up just bass fishing.
Okay.
Just a lot of places.
Yeah. And then App State, by the way. Talk about your journey and how you got recruited and how you wound up in Boone.
Yeah, I mean, I was very fortunate up in Boone to get my start there. I started as tight end. They came down and visited me, and they told me, probably be better for you to be interior line. But went on a visit there, absolutely loved App State and just fell in love with the school, the campus, the staff. And I was just like, how bad could it be to start O-line?
Yeah, not a bad future, huh? Yeah. Things worked out. So you got good hands, good feet if you were tight end.
I was probably average, speaking that they did move me to O-line, but I like to think that they were pretty good.
Now, D. Orlando Ledbetter from the AJC, as Ryan Neuzel is with us, guys. He told me a story. You were playing against one of Michael Irvin's kids' teams, and you were playing tight end, and he was talking trash to some DB. Don't let that kid beat you.
Yeah, no, we played like St. Thomas Aquinas out there, and that was, I mean, that was one heck of a roster. So they were just star-studded on the defensive side.
Right.
Ryan, who's the jokester on this offensive line, man? You got a lot of vets now. I mean, obviously, McGarry is a vet. All of a sudden, like, we look up, he's been here like 6-7 years. Who's the jokester?
It's got to be Bergeron.
Really?
Yeah, he's for sure the jokester. He just keeps things light, entertaining, and, I mean, just keeps it fun.
You've been here a couple of years, and now with camp, we feel like there's an energy, and even the veterans are talking about, usually when we ask about playoffs, guys go, we'll take it one game at a time. Seems like there really is a mission now to take it to the next level this season.
I mean, it just seems like every year we just keep building. So this year, I mean, it's definitely looking good, and, I mean, I think we have some good pieces.
Talk about the cohesion with the O-line. We talked to Jake a little bit about this. He was kind of remembering, you know, the line that he was with in 2016 when this team went to the Super Bowl. And he was like, he feels like the group is close that way. Describe that, if you would.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, ever since I've been here, Jake, Chris, and Caleb have been here. So it's kind of great just being able to stay with those guys. Then Bergeron going into year three, looking like really comfortable with everyone. And it's just kind of really nice just having the same unit together.
Now's a chance for us to do the good cop, bad cop, and spill the tea. Are there any secret plays you can share with us? Something new from Zach Robinson? How explosive is this offense going to be, Ryan Neuzel?
Come on!
No, can't do any of that. No, just run the ball, throw the ball, get in the end zone.
But there is a toughness and a mentality about teams that can run the football, and the Falcons have a rep around the league as being that kind of tough team, and now you're a part of that. Is that an attitude you're born with or develops through your coming up through college?
No, it definitely starts with Led, the O-line coach. I mean, just speed off the ball starts there and just being tough, finish, and just kind of just having the edge. When you run the ball, make it count.
Dwayne Ledford, he's talking about the O-line coach here. Ryan Neuzel with this guy. He's Dukes and Bell. Speaking of that, you kind of made him have to make a decision, right? I mean, you wouldn't go away. You just kept showing up and making plays and doing what you needed to do. I mean, I find that interesting because some guys maybe get frustrated knowing, all right, maybe I'm not going to get a shot. You don't know what's going to happen. But he speaks highly of you and the motivation you had to make this happen for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it was just step by step every year. Start of the year, my rookie year on practice squad, just trying to do everything I could just to stick around. And then year two, some injuries happened. I was able to get on the active roster, kind of just honestly was the same thing, just giving all the practice looks and just having the chance that I could get in. And then year three, I was fortunate enough to just get some actual playing time and really build on that. And then obviously last year, got some real playing time and just fortunate to be here.
Offensive linemen generally have the rep as being kind of low-key guys, but you know, you get a contract, 2-year deal, you got some roots now in the NFL. Do you buy anything fun for yourself this offseason?
Did buy a house. Yeah, had a wedding. So those are the two really big purchases around here. Nothing truly fun yet, no. solely just working through the house. That's enough.
Right.
Ryan, as we talk about this team, what's your sense? What do you feel? Like, you've been around football all your life. You've been on good teams. What's your sense here with what you've seen so far?
I just think everyone wants to go and get theirs. I mean, everyone's ready to just go out there week one, kind of just get things rolling, and everyone's just hungry.
Well, we appreciate your time, bro. Again, congratulations on the contract, and look forward to seeing you doing all that stuff you've been doing, man, the anchor of our offensive line. By the way, you set any expectations for yourself? Do you believe those PFF rankings, which we don't understand?
No, just trying to finish the year and do great.
All right.
Anything about these scuffles that we've seen? I've got to ask you that. Yeah. Anything? I mean, I know it's just a part of the game, but it's happening a lot out here. Like, it's been fun, but, I mean, like, I think it was Chris Lindstrom said yesterday, it's elevating guys. How do you sense what goes on in the trenches there?
Yeah, I mean, it's just camp scuffles. Happens everywhere. But, obviously, when a few of those break out, then it's like, okay, this next play, like, we got to go on both sides of the ball. Like, can't have, like, a little scuffle break out, and then everyone's, like, elevated, and then one side really – beats up on the other next play. Everyone gets a little elevated, you said.
And Coach Rod takes care of his starters in the preseason. Are you looking forward to, I presume, seeing the Titans? And that's some of these scrimmages, these in week workouts with the Titans, seem like that's where we're really going to see some physicality and see guys really establish themselves.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they have a good D-line up front, so it'll definitely be a dogfight up there.
Ryan Neuzel, man, good luck. Appreciate you stopping by, brother. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I did get him to expand off the air on the story that D-Led, I get a producer credit. Hey, Mike, did you ask him the story? Yeah, D-Led, he shut it down. Didn't say anything about playing against St. Thomas Aquinas. But he did mention off the air that, yeah, apparently Nike was a big sponsor. STA is a big parochial school in Broward County near Fort Lauderdale. And they always put guys in the NFL and in the big colleges. But that was the school he was going up against. And he said, yeah, it was literally guys are like, they might as well be showing up in Lamborghinis for that game.
Yeah, look. Those all-star type squads,
right?
I mean, like, we see more of that now in high school, certainly, but he had a nice career at App State, and it's good to see a good dude like this get an opportunity. You know, we talk about all these guys grinding, man. Everybody just coming to the NFL and stars. Right. Mike, he's waiting his turn. This guy might be a 10-year NFL guy.
Now,
right. You know, you don't know.
A couple guys hit us up on the text line, goes, man, he sounds like a dude next door, very likable.
Yes.
A couple guys sounded off. And again, as Carl said to start the conversation, we're not talking about you because you're doing your job. We're not. That's the old joke. Bob Whitfield gets so mad at me. I was like, why are you messing with me? I go, Bob, when they say holding number 70, everybody knows.
Everybody knows. And we didn't hear Neuzel's number being called a whole lot, which is great. Hey, man, tomorrow we're back at camp. Again, Buffalo's Cafe, Flowery Branch is where we're going to broadcast from. We'll be back here at Hooters, a Mall of Georgia location, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. Just to get things started. And next week, Corky Kale, man, we're going to be out one of the high school stadiums. Where are we headed, David?
West Forsyth.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. So that's going to happen Thursday. Excited about that because we'll get some high school football in here. Hey, man, Turtles coming up. Chris has got the night show. We got to get out of the way, man. Let's clear our throat. If you missed any of our interviews, they're online at Odyssey.com. By the way, subscribe to Dukes and Bell. Don't miss any of our shows, any of our content. You'll get notified with the app, man. Download it today. It's absolutely free, and that way you can stay up on everything that's going on with us. All right? Hey, man, thank you guys for being here. Thanks to our listeners for coming out again. We love all the folks who come out here to Hooters and hang out with us. Families as well. Mike, you were just talking about the lovely family over here with the beautiful daughter.
Right.
All types of folks, man. Men, women, single folks, families, everybody's coming out to hang out with Dukes and Bell. We'd love to get a chance to see you guys next week. Tomorrow, come see us at Buffalo's Cafe. Hey, Day-Day, great job executive producing. Big O back at the station. Stay tuned. Chris has got the night show. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man, love Teddy Bridgewater, and I love an underdog who's battling and trying to come back from big-time injuries. He nearly lost his leg, Carl, a couple years back.
Yeah.
He went down to coach at Miami Northwestern High, one of the poorest school districts in Dade County. Spent some money out of his own pocket to help some kids, Uber rides, give him some meals, give him some recovery after the game. Some other coaches dropped a dime because he was keeping guys. He was building a culture.
That's right.
So other coaches, you know, they I hope you sleep well tonight. He's out of the high school coaching business. He just got signed by the Buccaneers.
Yeah, man. Congratulations. Teddy Bridgewater is a very likable guy.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
I'll tell you this, Mike. We don't know how good Shador Sanders is going to be, what he's going to be, whether he's going to be anything. But you got to get a shot. And to get an opportunity to start this first preseason game, as one guy said to me, he said, Dukes, aren't these preseason games for guys that are not going to make the team? No, that's silly.
Right.
It's about getting work in and about seeing how guys compete against other teams and other players. I don't know what Shador is going to be, but now, to Mike's point, like our starters aren't playing, I might want to see a little bit of what Shador is going to do on Friday.
Mm.
Hey, man, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
you place the tuna melt on the Mount Rushmore of great sandwiches. Cha-cha.
I love any show where I do no research. It's so much easier. Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.